Wonderful, wonderful. Praise to y'all. I'm glad you didn't let the snow bother you. You may be seated. Oh, what a wonderful day. Wonderful praise to Yahweh. It's a sad world, and that's the reason this news is played. May the peace of Yahweh be with you, though. The peace of Yahweh, may it be with you always. That's what Yahweh is bringing. That's what he's going to bring. That's what his plan is all about, is to change all this war and fighting and bring peace. The Sabbath day, I was reading where one of the commentators said that we should re-examine the seventh-day Sabbath in the Scriptures, because it was actually a day of joy and gladness. Well, praise Yahweh, they finally found that out. I wonder why he re-examined it. But I think he must have heard the house of Yahweh telling him that was a joyous day. And praise Yahweh. Yahshua kept it the way it should have been kept. We are too. Maybe we'll get snowed in and we'll just have to stay here and enjoy this for a little bit longer. When kept properly, the house of Yahweh is full of joy and gladness when they keep the Sabbath properly. Praise Yahweh. I want to take you back to Genesis, because we were talking about the Pope now, their plan, what they try to establish in a person's mind is that the prophets did certain things one way, but we don't have to do that today. We can set however we want to worship God, as they call it. We can just set this however we want to. We don't have to follow any guidelines. Now, that's the Pope saying, not mine. The Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, teach that you have to keep these laws. You have to keep appointments with Yahweh. That's your life, or that's your tree of life. His house is your tree of life. So you have to keep these appointments with Yahweh. Well, they said, well, the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, now this is what they're planning in the people's minds. This is what Benedict is doing today, planning in the people's minds that the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, was not really a memorial of creation. Meaning, if it wasn't a memorial of creation, why should we bother with it? Of course, that's not what Yahweh said. He didn't say keep this as a memorial of creation. He said keep your appointments with me on these days, and he gave certain days for appointments when he said, I will be there with you, making it a holy convocation. A holy convocation where I will teach you and I will prove you. Prove you for what? Prove you fit for eternal life and an eternal position in Yahweh's kingdom. If you go to the place where Yahweh chooses, the 13 attributes of Yahweh will be taught to you there. There won't be war and fighting. There won't be the killings that's going on throughout the world. You won't find murders and drugs and druggists and so forth in Yahweh's house. These are the things that Revelation 17:20 says the beast will not repent of. Their fornications, adultery, sodomy, bestiality. The God worship. They said the gods that gave them the rights to do this. Well, what God was it? Well, it's Rabbi so-and-so. Speaking of the rabbis now are beginning to call us from Israel. And I knew it was coming. Praise Yahweh. Because the Scripture foretells that certain thousands of these people will come out and come to the house. So, you know, they're beginning to call and they're thanking us and praising Yahweh that they have found the witness. Yeah. And thanking us for the message that in fulfillment of prophecy that is going out to all the world, not just Israel, but all the world. But there's some of these people now that actually study the scriptures. So they've been looking for. If you notice the commentators, they say, you know, it's rather hard to distinguish who this person is that this scripture is talking about. Now, they call him Yisrael, but who is he? Is that Yahshua? Is that the Savior? Is that Moses? No, Moses was never called Israel. Maybe it was King Cyrus. No, that brute. No, it wasn't him. it was somebody that would be like Yahshua. Yahshua was had the 13 attributes of Yahweh. He wasn't willing that any should perish. He is a very merciful person that was whose heart was set on being a servant to his people, and still is today. We got another sign from him, I think, this last week. It was on the 19th. And you know that the sign that I showed you, I know that came from Yahshua, the sign of the donkey on the cloud. In the time the world is mourning, and you can see how they're mourning, you can see how the frustration has filled the earth right now, and it's getting worse day by day, and the uncertainty has got everyone so fearful that they're ready to make the first track and keep their so-called enemies from destroying them. Well, this is the attitude of the world. And, of course, the Pope is trying to say, go ahead and do away with all the laws. Don't pay attention to these laws. We've got to have Sunday. We can't live without Sunday. Well, he can't live by refusing to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, Sunday is a work day, of course, the first day of the week. But it's named after the sun god, and this is the god that they're worshiping, in fact, on Christmas. The reason December the 25th was chosen as the birthday of the Savior was because it's the birthday of the pagan god, the pagan sun god. Encyclopedias will tell you that. We have it in our books. We'll be glad to show it to anyone or send them a copy or tell you where you can get it. But that's a fact. It's not the birthday of the Savior. Sunday is not the day, the Sabbath, that Yahweh will keep an appointment with you. You could set your own appointments, but Yahweh will not be there. Now, I'm sure the sun god Baal would if he was alive, but he's dead and gone. His grave is with us today. That's the only thing that's left of him, and that grave has no power to answer prayer. But the Pope hasn't the sense enough to know that right now. He may, when he's facing the hell fire that Yahweh says that he's going to face in Revelation 20. But right now, he's trying to get everyone to stop keeping the Sabbath. Now, this has been a fight from eternity. From the day that Yahweh instituted the Sabbath, Satan tried to keep Adam and Eve from keeping or celebrating this appointment with Yahweh. And this may have well been their sin, was that they did not keep their appointment, and then Yahweh went looking for them on the Sabbath day, and they recognized that they had sinned, finally. Well, anyway, go back to Genesis 1 if you haven't found it there yet. Because this is where life is taught. This is where you're proved, at the house of Yahweh. Yahweh, you can rest assured, he sees your face if you're in his house right now. He's looking at you. He knows you're here. In Genesis 1, we see here, verse 26, Yahweh said,
I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have rulership. I'm going to give them rulership, he says. Rulership. In verse 27, he says, so Yahweh created man in his image. In the image of Yahweh, he created the man, and he created the woman from the man. Now, with this, you'd be surprised at how much the Catholic Church and the popes will try to make you doubt the words of the prophets here. Now, Yahshua said in Luke 24:25, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. But they try to pretend here, they pick it and then they interpret it instead of letting it interpret it. And they say that there's discrepancies in the times and then of creation. And these discrepancies, see, that's all they say. But that's supposed to prove to you that you can't trust what is said here. And after all, he couldn't have done this in 6 days or 7 days. After all, you know, we need to follow the laws of evolution because this is the way we happen to be here. We just happen to be here, and then some of us became strong. Some of the men became strong. The rabbis especially, and that's the reason we named them lords and gods, and that's the ones that answer our prayers today. That's the reason your prayers are not answered today. That's the reason you got frustration all over the earth. Look around you. Wake up a little, you know. Use them eyes that you got all over the world and see the frustration that's going on. Murders, killings, suicides. What does it take to wake you up, Benedict? Man. Somebody needs to shake you and open your eyes and get you to see what's going on around you. The Yahweh is making man in his image. He created man and woman. He created man and woman here. Do you see that? And Yahweh blessed him. Well, where did he bless him? Well, not in that verse. Not in that verse he didn't bless him. Oh, that's a discrepancy. Well, we shouldn't believe any of it. Let's throw the thing away. Let's follow evolution. Surely Darwin has salvation, right? So are you praying to Darwin, Benedict? He has as much power as your other dead gods. You're following him. You're worshiping him. You're bringing forth his literature. That's a sign of worship. You're serving Darwin. You don't realize it, I know, but that's who you're serving. When you say that Darwin has the truth and Yahweh doesn't. And that's what he's putting in your mind by making these little psychological statements that you can't trust the Bible. So they got the people to forsaking reading their scriptures and actually studying them. Well, Yahweh blessed him. We'll see where in just a moment. And Yahweh said to him, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have rulership. Rulership. This word here, the word fill, fill the earth. Verse 28, and so Yahweh blessed man, and Yahweh said to him, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. That word fill there, Strong's exhaustive concordance shows the meaning of the word fill, or be full, accomplish, consecrate, be at an end, be expired, to come to an end, to die, breathe out, to fulfill, to fence, to strengthen, for establishing exclusive right to possession, together, what would that be talking about? If you remember the Hebrews 4, they stopped the gathering together because they didn't believe. The reason they don't believe is the same crapola that the Pope is putting forth today. Satan put it forth long before you lived. gather together. And then in Hebrews 10, he says, don't stop, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The King James Version says to replenish, to make full, or complete again, to fill again, or anew. So the word there, when we change, we get another meaning, or when we fail to look it up in the Hebrew. Now, Yahweh blessed man, he says. He blessed man. Let me see if I want to cover something else before I go into that word. 28, blessed, the reference. Yahweh blessed them. We will come back to that later. Yahweh actually preached them a sermon, if you can see from what this word means. This word carries a lot of different meanings here that he gave in the original Hebrew without vowel points, as the great Yehuda said. And Yahweh preached them all of these things right here that I covered and more on that first Sabbath day. This is the blessing that Yahweh brought forth. Now, Yahweh blessed them, verse 28. You see the word blessing in verse 28. Yahweh blessed them, meaning to bring forth, lift up what is born of man. You remember Yahshua's words, and we'll see it later in print, but he says, all authority is given to me because I am the Son of Man. All authority has been given to me now because I am the Son of Man. Well, that's what Yahweh is doing in creating mankind in his image to give him authority. He was the first one to fulfill that. Yahshua, who is now our high priest and king over this last day's house of Yahweh. It means to bring forth, lift up what is born of man, the consequence of an action, hence atonement. Atonement? Atonement for sins. Now, this is speaking of none other but Yahshua. This is a prophecy of Yahshua that, get this now, that Yahweh is teaching to man and woman, and we'll see that he taught it on the very first Sabbath day. That was the blessing of the Sabbath. That's what I'm doing to you today. I'm blessing the Sabbath for you or to you.
Praise Yahweh.
You know what else? We had people working all week long to make sure that you have food to eat, which is also shown here in this, that he fed mankind physical and spiritual food. We have men working for that purpose 6 days in order to bring forth food for you on the seventh day. And last night, that food was prepared so it would be fresh for you today. Yes. And believe it or not, those who study their scriptures, they know that food was prepared and eaten, yes, every Sabbath day. You couldn't do your work, but you could do Yahweh's work, taking care of his people. And the Savior did this very thing and fed thousands on the Sabbath day. And his rest that he presented was wonderful. We'll get that Day of Atonement now and look on over to Psalms. Psalms 58. We'll come back here to Genesis in just a moment. But turn to Psalms 58 and remember atonement. He's making atonement. He was teaching them about Yahshua and the atonement for sins, meaning that he fully expected sin to enter into mankind, but he has a plan to save mankind from his sin. Well, in Psalms 58, verses 10 and 11, Psalms 58, verses 10 and 11. He says, the righteous shall rejoice because he has seen his deliverance. He shall wash his feet from the blood of the wicked. Yes, it's getting that thick, and you're going to get thicker, Yahweh shows. And man shall say, yes, there is reward for the righteous. Yes, there is a Father judging in the earth. Judging? Well, we'll see that in just a moment where he's judging us. Turn on over now. Remember the atonement. The Father is judging all of this. And I go to Isaiah 53, because this is speaking of atonement. Later, the prophet spoke of this, of course, here a little and there a little, so you could understand. You can't understand just Genesis. You've got to know what all the rest of the scriptures say and then tie it in with Genesis in order to understand it. But Yahweh gave enough there that we can tie the two together, or the 100 other writings that go with this, with Genesis, and we can see the full story in that manner. Well, here in Isaiah 53, if you start with verse 1, who has believed our report? Well, not very many, as Yochanan said, a few, compared to the billions that have come and gone. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And every one of these words here is a sermon. The tender plant, the root, because that has to do with the work in the last days. And to understand his part in this work in the last days, you have to get these words to keep them in your mind. And then when they're called to your attention by another scripture, say, oh, yeah, see what you mean here, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Out of a dry ground, he has no form nor comeliness. This means pomp. It means richly clothed, a throne. I understand that the Pope now has been invited to the Muslim mosque, and they're going to allow him to sit on their throne inside the Muslim mosque, and they're going to try to come to a peaceful decision, I would say, about building the temple. That's my guess. Anyway, all of these are in the plans and prophecy and so forth, so look for it. He has no form. He doesn't have all this pomp that you see in the Pope Dome, as that's one of the commentaries call it. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. He's actually despised. So here's a prophecy about the Savior who is to come and pay and die for man's sins. Y'all get that? Here's a prophecy of the Savior who is to come and pay for everybody's sins, and they hate him. And this sounds like a ridiculous prophecy. Who would think you'd hate a man that's coming to die for your sins? That's coming to tell the truth. That's coming in perfect righteousness. And yet the prophet said, you're going to hate him. He's going to be despised. They're going to arrest him and throw him in jail. Yes, that's what they said right here in this chapter. They're going to hate the Savior. Well, he tells all about the Savior here, and he's going to die. Look at verse 12, the last part. Because he poured out his soul to death, willingly did this, willing to do the will of Yahweh, knowing what it's going to bring forth. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Atonement. He made atonement for the transgressor. Yahweh made atonement in bringing him forth. And he made atonement in dying for our sins. Let's look back to Psalms. Psalms 110. Keep it in mind. I used to think, how could a man, knowing what he was going to suffer, How could he face that? Because he knew that he was going to suffer much. And of course, when you think about that, and if that's all you think about in your trials and tests today, and believe me, Yahweh is trying you. He knows your thoughts. He wants to know. Yes, he actually wants to know how mean you can be, how hateful you can be, what kind of a sourpuss face you can put on to make everybody feel bad around you. He wants to know that. So he won't allow you in the kingdom. He certainly don't want you forever. What he wants is somebody that'll bring joy on the Sabbath day, that will be a blessing like he was. You got to be made in his image. Praise Yahweh. Well, here in chapter 110, notice verse 1 now, still speaking of atonement, of course, but keep in mind what the Savior went through, how he went through it. He kept thinking of the glory that this is going to bring to mankind. Well, why would he think of the glory that it's going to bring to mankind? Mankind is going to be given glory throughout the universe in order to solve the problems just like we're facing on earth. But we're going to be ruling, that is, guiding, teaching, bringing forth this to the universe. The universe now mourns, waiting for the revealing, the manifestation, as the King James Version says. That's the revealing of the sons of man. So you're being proven right now, proven, so that you can take your place in the tree of life. The tree of life to bring life everlasting to the universe, life, peace, joy, love, everything that makes for abundant living, including slow roasted hokey chicken for dinner and pinto beans. I'll bet you we have them in the kingdom. Okay, Yahweh in Psalms 110 now, verse 1. Yahweh said to my ruler in prophecy, he said to my ruler and king, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Saying to Yeshua, the Savior was actually going to be caught up to heaven and set at Yahweh's right hand. When? Though, when? Well, the rest of the prophecies show this. First, he had to come and suffer and die. Then he had to be resurrected in 3 days. After 3 days, at the end of 3 days, if he hadn't stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights, he wouldn't be our Savior. That was a proof. And he stayed there 3 days and three nights. He rose, yes, on the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn towards the first day of the week. Yes, he rose. He was out of the grave and gone on the Sabbath. So Pope Benedict, why don't you change and say you're celebrating the resurrection. Now, since I told you this, I can also prove it to you if you want me to. Write and get our literature and I'll show you. It's in the scriptures. You can believe the scriptures. He rose on the Sabbath. So why don't we celebrate the Sabbath in honor of his resurrection and in honor of Yahweh? You're lying when you say the Sunday is the resurrection day. You want to celebrate a lie? Yes, you do. That's the reason you're pushing it, to keep the people from keeping their appointment with Yahweh. That's your purpose in life, and I'm here to expose your purpose in life. Praise Yahweh. Check the scriptures. When the women went there, Yeshua was already gone, as it was beginning to dawn towards the first day of the week. He was already gone. He wasn't there. He rose at the same time he was put in the grave. You know when he was put in the grave, Benedict? In the afternoon. Check it. Check it out. Check me out. Don't bring forth these lies. Repent now, and we might get the world to repent. We could, you know. Everybody could repent and change right now. I know you won't, but they could. Yahweh gives it to them. Okay, he says, Yahweh said to my ruler and king, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, he's going to use some other people to do it. And that's what he's telling him right here. I'm going to use the last day's remnant to bring your enemies to their knees in front of your feet. And you're going to be guiding them as high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. For in the last days I will establish my house in the chief of the nations. Now, verse 2. And Yahweh will send the rod. What in the world is the rod? Well, of course, you've got to know the prophecies to know what the rod is. I've got it written at the top of my book of Yahweh. Maybe you do too. In 110, it means branch. It comes from, Strong's can show you this. Matah, it means branch. I'll send my branch, my chosen branch, my chosen branch. His name is Yisrael. That's what Yahweh says his name is. He's one of the two witnesses. I will send him. I will send the rod of your strength. Your strength. Well, what is the strength? My strength is my laws, my statutes, my judgments that I am giving to mankind. That's the strength. And all things can be done through this love that it teaches. All things can be accomplished through it. But you've got to prove that you will bring this strength forth. Well, I will send the rod of your strength out of Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will have proved themselves. They'll prove themselves obedient to the law on the day you go forth in power. They will unite with you, arrayed in their holy garments. Like the morning dew, they will completely cover the earth, governing with you. Yes, that's, of course, the resurrection and the covering the earth. It's at the resurrection and where all who actually live by Yahweh's laws will be resurrected and won't be hurt by any second death, not ever. Not ever. Praise Yahweh. Now, verse 4. Yahweh has vowed an oath and will not relent nor change his mind. You are a priesthood forever after the order of Melchizedek. The governing, this whole unit is a priesthood that Yahweh had in mind from the beginning and told the 12 tribes, if you'll do these things, you'll be a peculiar people unto me, a very chosen treasure unto me, and you will be a chosen priesthood unto me. Well, of course, they slid back with their lust and let the Cush, who created and spread rebellion, take them into the God worship. But Yahweh says, you are a priest. A priesthood forever, after the order of Melchizedek, the righteous priest and king. The rulers and kings at your right hand, O Yahweh, will strike through, you can mark out the added words there, kings in the day of his judgment, in that day. Well, this is the day of his judgment. Remember that the nations were angry. And your judgment has come, Revelations 10:9, I believe it is. The nations were angry. Of course, we see this, extremely angry is what it should be right there. Over-exhausting themselves with hatred and anger, willing to destroy the whole earth, all of mankind, just to keep Iran from building a bomb or because we want some oil somewhere or something. The rulers and kings at your right hand, O Yahweh, will strike through kings in the day of judgment. They will, this word strike through here, it actually means heathen. King James Version says heathen there. And I'm sorry, nations. The word kings, the word strike there, it means dipped. They will baptize. They will actually be baptizing is what that word means, but they put strike, and we did too, strike through, baptize the kings in the day of his judgment. The kings of the nations are kings of the heathen. One says Gentiles, but it's actually heathen. Heathen who do not believe in your laws. They will execute judgment among the heathen in that day. In fact, that was one of the things that the King James Version got right there. They actually have this translated heathen. They will fill the earth with dead bodies. That's not true. They will fill the earth. They will wound. That word there means jubilee, also means baptize. They will baptize. They will fill. Leave out the extra words there. It's not that they won't kill anyone. The word there actually means resurrect. They will fill or resurrect those that have been killed. We will resurrect the dead and baptize them in that day. Subdue also means baptize, that word wound. The Hebrew word means subdue, also means baptize. Verse 6. Verse 7. The one who bestows succession will set them on their thrones. Remember Revelations 20 now, because that is the time when you receive this reward that you're being loyal to at this time. And let's go back now to, I think it's Genesis verse 28. That's where we stopped a while ago. Speaking of an atonement, which was Yahshua, and the job that he's going to bring forth, is bringing forth right now, that's actually making a dent, but you're going to see a big mountain fall here really, really soon. Now for the details here. In Genesis 128, he says, then Yahweh blessed him. That is, he blessed mankind. And Yahweh said to him, be fruitful and multiply. He preached him a sermon right here, a long sermon. Yahweh blessed him with that sermon and with his appointment. He kept an appointment with mankind there for that purpose. Look over now to chapter 2, and notice verse 1 through 3, Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Thus the heaven and the earth and all the host of them were finished. You got that? The heaven and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Then, and on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. Well, we know what that word rested means. He served mankind. He served mankind on that day. From all his works, he preached him a sermon. He taught him. He diligently taught mankind his plan and his laws. Then Yahweh blessed the seventh day after he, this is part of the rest of him. He rested the seventh day. This is how he did it. He blessed the seventh day, set it apart to be holy. That is, we'll find out later, it was for holy convocations. Holiness is when you have your mind like Yahshua did, willing to die in order to bring forth this plan of Yahweh for mankind and for the universe. You have your mind on service, not selfishness, but service to mankind. Because in it, he rested. We know what the word rested means. He actually worked. The heavens and the earth was his work to get this done.
Then he did a work of teaching, that is, blessing mankind. That was a different work, but it's work. I'm working right now, doing the same thing, blessing you on this Sabbath day with Yahweh's words. And from all the work which Yahweh had created, he rested from the work which he had created. Then he started another work, blessing man. And on each appointment day, he did the same thing. Now, this was verse 3. Look down to verse 8. And remember what you just read there in verse 3. Bless the seventh day, set it apart to be holy. Look at verse 8 now. Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He planted a garden. Now, if you'll look back to see, Benedict, there's no contradiction here like you're trying to say. He planted a garden, chapter 1 and verse 11. Then Yahweh said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kind, seed-bearing trees according to their kind. And Yahweh saw that it was right. And that was the third day, notice, in verse 13. Verse 13. There's no contradiction here at all. Verse 8 merely shows you where he put the man that he, that was already, the garden was already built in day 3. And he put him in that garden, last part, there he put the man in the place that he worked to invent on the third day. Y'all got that? Everybody got it. Last part, Genesis 2 and verse 8. Yahweh planted the garden eastward in Eden. That word eastward, it means, meaning first or before, first or before, or aforetime, or forever, or everlasting. So he had already planted the garden. This wasn't another creation at all. He already had already planted it, and he put the man there. Now, that word, if I can find it here, it also means protection. Protection. Now, if you'll look at verse 9 here. Yes, garden. The word garden. It means also protected place. Protected place. Now, you ought to mark that in your Holy Scriptures there. That word garden, it means protected place, because the only protected place of Yahweh is the house of Yahweh, his work. And that's the only thing he protects, and he allows mankind to have his way with everything else. And he says nothing is withheld from them until they bring this destruction upon all the world. But the protected place, the house of Yahweh, this was the very first Sabbath, the seventh day Yahweh rested, was making the Sabbath a blessing to mankind. There with them, making it a holy convocation that in which he declared later. Now, look at Genesis 2 and verse 3 again. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day, set it apart. He blessed it in that manner. Blessed, blessed. He didn't just say it. He doesn't, just hold your place right there. Oh, you can find it well enough. Let's go over to the book of Yaakov. Yahweh didn't just say, well, blessed be the Sabbath. This is not just words. He never does that. And to find out how he would do it and why it wouldn't be so that he would just say, well, blessed be the Sabbath. This is not so. And when the blessings, when Yahshua pronounced the blessings, these blessings were actually made possible, of course, and ones to receive them. That was all made possible.
Well, here in Jacob, we see what is meant here. If you have a King James, it's James, the book of James. It's actually Jacob 2. Go to chapter 2 and notice verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. And one of you says, let's go back to 14. What does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith or has the faith or following the faith that Yahweh has given us, which is his laws, statutes, and judgment, but does not have works? The faith is not able to save him. Well, this kind of does away with your only believe junk, right? He plainly says it. Your faith, you have faith. Well, just have faith, because they heard Yahshua say have faith. So they said, well, that's all there is to it. Then they heard one of the disciples hint at it, allude to it. They use these words to throw you off and make you believe that they've done something. Well, the disciples alluded to keeping the first day of the week. No, they didn't. They worked viciously doing their own work on the first day of the week. They used the holy Sabbath. They rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now, that's plain. They don't just allude to it. They actually said they kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. That should be plain enough, Benedict, if you just listen. What does it profit you? It means nothing. It's not able to save him. If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of food or daily food, and you say to him, depart, be you warmed and filled. That's like saying, blessed be the Sabbath, right? Depart, be you warmed and filled. Bye. That's what they say at Salvation Army, isn't it? When they kick you out, be you warmed and filled, men, all of you. Well, when's the next meal? Oh, next year. Seemed to me like I saw a commercial to that effect here recently. Next year. What would that help? Well, that's what he's trying to show you how ridiculous this thinking is. And one of him says, depart, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? In the same way, the faith that Yahweh gives us, if it does not have works, it is dead being alone. Verse 18. Yes, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my work. You believe that there is one Father? You do well. The demons also believe, but they won't have eternal life. I'd added that part. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that the faith without works is dead? He said it again. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Do you see? That was in Genesis 26, verse 5, where Abraham actually kept the laws, statutes, and judgments. But he also offered, he was willing to obey Yahweh, and that was his reward, brought his reward. Verse 22, do you see that the faith worked together with the works, and by works the faith makes perfect? The faith makes perfect, makes the person perfect, if he will work to perform or practice the laws. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham was faithful. Well, Genesis plainly says that he was faithful. Genesis 26 says, because Abraham kept my laws, my statutes, and my judgments. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham was faithful in all the house of Yahweh, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's counted to you for righteousness if you will do it. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see them that man is also justified by works and not by faith only. Then he gives Rahab and what she did. She put her life at stake because she knew the plan of Yahweh and helped to fulfill it. For just as the body without the spirit, Yochanan 6:63, shows it's the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so the faith without the works is dead, being alone. Now back to Genesis now. Yahweh blessed the Sabbath by bringing the teaching, his teaching, to mankind. Chapter 2, Genesis. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 9. And out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food, spiritual, physical, both. And here we see the tree of life now. Here's the invention of the tree of life, the house of Yahweh, which Yahweh set in the garden, the great garden of Yahweh, and that's what the prophet calls it, and I've brought sermons on that, that you need if you don't have it. Tree of life, seven lamps. It includes seven lamps to bring forth his plan of making man in his image. That's the tree of life. Tree of life that shines like a lamp. Seven of them in the plan of Yahweh. I see my time is up, and it actually is up a little while ago, but I asked for permission to go over just a little because our news was a little bit long. Keep keep all of this in mind. I want to continue it next week. Can I show you something before I mentioned it? I just got one more thing I want to show you. The sign, Yeshua. I said, I believe Yeshua sent us another sign. Now, on the 19th, there was two teachers. If I got this story right, there was two teachers went outside, I guess, for a recess with the children from the school's classroom. They went outside and they were watching the children, guarding the children as they played. And all of a sudden, something caught the eye of one of the teachers. She turned and was so astonished she couldn't believe it because it was actually writing in the sky. Or print. She looked over, she saw a cloud over the sanctuary. Underneath the cloud was a rectangle box. It was a box. In the box, and they said, I said, was this really plain? Yes, there's no making any mistakes here. So I questioned them quite a bit. About it. Yes, it was plain. The letters in this box was S. Sam, H. Henry, D. David, H. Sam. It was S. Sam, H. Henry, D. David, H. Henry, F. Frank. Those five letters. S. H. D. H. F. Now, that's pretty astonishing to see something like that in writing or in print. Underneath a cloud, in a box, all clouds, but in a box, where it looked like a painting. I'm going to show you this, because one of them painted it for me. Now, where she was viewed, she couldn't see the elf, but the other one, the other teacher, could see the elf behind the tree. The other teacher was standing in a position to see the elf, but the first one, the one that drew this, didn't. The cloud is up here at the top, and underneath the cloud was this box. And all of this was over the sanctuary. Now, at that time, to the left of this cloud, another box appeared, and this was a square box. And they said it was a perfect square box. And the box set looked like mountains, little mountains coming up. Here's the way they drew it. If you see the letters G and E with an extended bottom on the E, and then it has a period at the end of that extended bottom. G-E. Now this box here, said it looked like little mountains sticking up in this box. The little mountains receded, and an A came up out of the box. I think that would get anybody's attention. Then the A went back down in the box, and the mountains came back. Remember, mountains means promotion. And think of the times that we have raised up, you know, over these mountains, and then the mountains kind of declined, then the mountains came back up again, and I said, we need to be baptized again. Well, think of all these times, and I think that's the meaning. But the mountains, the A then went back down in the box, the mountains came up, the A came back stronger then. The mountains went back, and the A came back stronger. And the third time, it was really plain and stayed there. This is what they drew. And see the period here at the end of it. A-G-E, age, period. Now I know this has a meaning. I called some priest and to get to work on this, and we're working on it now. And hopefully, Yahweh willing, I know it's a sign from Yahweh. You will, at the time the earth mourns, then you will see the sign from the Son of Man in heaven. The first sign that I can say was a sign was the donkey on the cloud, which was also astonishing. And when I saw it, I didn't think much, and then I got to looking at it, and it was too plain. It was just stationary. And they said this sign was stationary right over the house of Yahweh. And it stayed there for a certain amount of time till they could write it down, and then it started moving to the north fast, they said, and quickly disappeared. So think on this and go to work on it, you priest, priestess. Go to work on it, and whatever you come up with, I'd like to have it in writing. But I know Yahweh is showing us something here. The ages, I think this means that we're in the last age, and Yahweh extended it, as Revelation said. The other letters, we're not sure, but we're working on it. And so everybody, think about this. Talk about it. See if you can come up with anything on this sign that's, I know it's from the Son of Man, that you will be signs in the clouds from the Son of Man. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you.